Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim Ingram from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank you personally for joining us today. And I'd love to connect with you on social media at HighRidgeLV, that's our handle. Or check us out online if you would. Our website is highridgechurch.com and then click on the Longview tab to connect with us. Hope this message blesses you and encourages you. Hope it challenges you. Let's grab your Bibles, tune into the Word. God bless. Welcome to church. We want to welcome in those that are tuning in online. All of our podcast friends, our friends from all over the world. So, High Ridge family, would you give them a big warm round of applause? Come on, let them hear you. Awesome. Grab your Bibles if you would. John chapter 17 is where we will spend the majority of our time together this morning as we start a brand new series called We, Not Me. Somebody say it with me. We, Not Me. We're going to talk all about the divine power of connection. And how the Bible tells us very clearly in Genesis chapter 2, we've based the whole series around verse 18. It says, it is not good for man to be left alone. All the women in the place say amen. Amen. Strange things happen when men get left alone. And so I wanted to start today with a little bit of humor and show you what happens when you leave dad home alone with the babies. We got a couple of pictures for you. So check this one out if you would. There you go. And then look at this one, if you would. You cannot leave us unattended. This is what happens. It's not good for man to be left alone. And our head usher today is Will Payne, and we thought we would embarrass him just a little bit today. This is what happens when Will Payne is left alone with his baby girl, Poppy Kate. He falls asleep, and she opens up all the Christmas presents. Oh, there you go. We love you, Will. It's awesome. There is divine power that happens when we connect because it's not good for us to be left alone. You know, there is a God-given yearning, a longing inside of each of us to connect with other people. God created us with the desire to know and to be known. That's the reason why it hurts so much when divorce happens, because we long for a divine connection with other people. There's the reason why it hurts so much when you lose a good friend, because we yearn for those connections. There's a reason why it hurts when people will ostracize you or put you out of your friendship group. There's a reason why it hurts so much when somebody breaks up with you. And if you've never been broken up with, just keep on living it. It happens. Let me just tell you, and it hurts, especially that first time when you feel like I'm not good enough for this person, or they broke up with me for one reason or another. It hurts. Because there is a longing for each of us to connect with others. There's divine power that happens when we connect. To illustrate my point today, when we were little, and I say we, by me and my younger brother, we also had two sisters. And it was the job, the God-given job by me and my brother to torment our sisters. Somebody say amen. Amen. To torment them. Now, at my grandma's house, she had something that was not available to us at our house. See, my house had linoleum floors, hardwood floors, but grandma's house had that orange shag carpet. Can you see it? Can you smell it, by the way? It just has a smell. I'm talking about that 1970s orange carpet. And it's thick and it's huge. And when you would take your shoes off at grandma's house and start shuffling through that orange carpet, somebody tell me what happens, right? You know what I'm talking about. You start hearing a humming in your ears. It's zzzz. God gave us a wonderful thing called static electricity by which to torment every sister of every brother that has ever been made. I remember there's a special spot that would just incense my older sister right on the earlobe. And you walk up right behind her and you get those feet shuffling real good. And you reach out, and there's divine power when we connect. Boom, pop, and she would lose it. And then you just take off running. Thank you, God, for static electricity. It taught me a wonderful lesson at a young age that there is divine power when we connect. I want to show you a couple of things in the Word of God this morning that will illustrate my point even better. And if you're a note taker, go ahead and write this down on point number one. There is power when we connect to his word. One of the biggest things that we deal with in ministry is the failure of the everyday Christian to know, to understand, or to even read God's word. And unfortunately, this is becoming more and more common as our world pushes away from the authority of God's written word. I looked up the statistics yesterday and was surprised to find out that there's about 10% of Christians who have never cracked the Bible in their life. As a matter of fact, 53% of Christians polled in 2016 reported that they have either never read the Bible or read a few verses or just know some stories from the Bible. 53%. The majority of people that call themselves Christians do not understand the authority and the power that comes from simply connecting to God's word. Let me tell you, there's a reason why we have a hard time overcoming sin. There's a reason why we have a hard time breaking out of destructive habits and patterns, because we have forgotten the power of God's word. There's power in his word, people. Power there. 9% of Christians have actually read the Bible through more than once. And this is something that it used to be when I was growing up. This was standard. A follower of Jesus, you better know his word. The old folks understood that there's power in his word. And they passed that down to us, but we've forgotten to teach that to our children and to our grandchildren, that this is not just some ancient book. There's power in that book. There's power when we connect to God through his word. David says it this way in Psalm 119, verse 11. He says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, the power to break sin, it's in the book. The power to overcome the work of the enemy, it's in the book. The power to stand strong in tough times, that's in the book. The power to financial breakthrough, it's in there. Unfortunately, many of us Christians have never been taught that life's tests are an open book test. You're trying to figure out on your own. There's power when you get into God's word. Here's the second thing I want you to understand today, that there is a greater power when we connect with other believers. You see, it's one thing to read the word of God. It's one thing to start praying and talking to God, but it's something else entirely when you start connecting with other believers. As a matter of fact, Jesus says it this way in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. He says, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything that they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Jesus is saying, you can pray, you can ask me, but there's more prayer answered when you agree together with another believer. There's a greater level of prayer. There's a more effective version of prayer when we pray together. That's the reason why at this church, at the end of every service, we always call the elders of our church and their wives forward. We make them available for you to pray with them about any prayer request that you may have. Why? Because we understand that there's greater power than just you praying by yourself. You want to pray with another believer. And you want that believer that you're praying with to agree with you in faith. There's power there. Do you see it? There's a reason why we're not just a church that has some groups. We are a church that's made up of groups. It's not just something that we do in passing. But we believe there's power that happens when people get into authentic relationship with other believers. This is where you're going to find freedom. This is where things that used to plague your life start falling off. There's power when you connect to other believers. You know, many of us would still say today that, you know, Pastor, I'm just a loner. I'm just the kind of person that would rather just do it by myself. You know, the reason why people say that is because they've been hurt by someone else. Because they have a longing to be connected, and for some reason, that longing was filled by the wrong person. Somebody hurt you. Somebody told you and made you believe that it's just easier to go through life if you just do it by yourself. And it's a lie. Because when God wants to bless your life, when God wants to encourage you, when God wants to strengthen you, he'll send a person. Now, the enemy understands that as well. And he will give you the counterfeit of that exact same solution that God provides. So, Pastor, how do I know the difference between a God-ordained person, a divine appointment with someone that's going to help me, and someone that's going to hurt me? It's in the book. It's in His Word. His Word gives us the power to test the spirits, to understand, is this a God person? Or is this a person that's going to end up just hurting me more, pushing me away from the we into the me? There's divine power that happens when we connect to God's Word, when we connect with other believers. And number three, there's even greater power when we connect to Jesus' heart with others. Because think about this. When Jesus says, when two of you agree, I'm going to answer your prayer. Well, what if the person that you're agreeing with was Jesus? Now, I think both of us today would agree that that prayer is going to get answered. So it's important that you know that when you're reading John chapter 17, you're seeing what Jesus is wanting us to agree with Him about. So as we turn our attention to God's Word today, notice that this is right before Jesus goes to the cross, and John chapter 17 captures the beautiful prayer of Jesus. Jesus is offering up His final prayer, the most important things that He wants to make sure that we understand what His heart is, what His mission is. And He starts praying for what's about to happen. He prays for His disciples, and then He moves on to pray for those who will yet believe. This is me and you. I want you to see Jesus' prayer for you, His heart for you. And when you line your prayers up and you start agreeing with Jesus, when you start stepping out in faith towards what Jesus is asking in His prayers, there is divine power that will meet you there. Look at verse 20 if you would. John captures it this way. He says, I pray for those who will believe. That's us. That's me and you. Those that will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be, somebody say the next word, one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, or connected, Lord, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Why does the world not believe in the power of Jesus anymore? And I would venture to you that that is our fault. We've embraced the me culture and rejected the we part of the Bible. Jesus says they're going to know the power that comes from following after Christ by the unity among the saints. We have never been more divided in the history of the world. We've gotten away from the power, that divine connection that God's Word tells us is so important. It's the heart of Jesus. We, not me. He says this, I have given them the glory that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one, I and them, you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Great word by there, right there in the Greek language. When he says complete, I want you to know that this is the same word that we talk about at Easter when we talk about Jesus' last words upon the cross. When he says, it is finished. The Greek word there is tetelestai, which means mission accomplished or paid in full. I have completed what God has called me to do. I've paid the price for man's sins. This is what Jesus is saying as he's hanging upon the cross. And when he says, I want them to be in complete unity, he uses the same word. I want them to accomplish the mission of becoming one. Do you see this? Our mission as brothers and sisters is to become one with each other, just as much as we long for connection with God. He says, I want them to be brought to complete unity. And then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those that you have given me to be with me where I am and to see your glory, the glory that you have given me because you have loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love that you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. He's saying the key to connection, the key to unity is love and the power of Jesus living inside of each and every one of us. There's power when we embrace the heart of Jesus. You get the gifts of Jesus inside of you. Unity. It's about we, not me. You know, when Jesus prays for unity, we have this unique opportunity not to only just to read the words on the page, but to connect with His heart and to see what He's asking each and every Christian to do. modern Christianity today has embraced a lie. And the lie is that church is for me. Church is about me getting what I need on a Sunday morning. And we've worked really, really hard to take that mindset and flip it on itself. And instead to create a church that was about we. The power of what we could do together. The power of what happens when Christians get into authentic relationship with each other. Many of us have relationships, but are they authentic? Many of us know people, and we throw around the word friends. But yet, it's a much deeper connection than what just we would term friends that Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about unity, the unity that happens in Acts chapter 2 when it says they were all gathered in one mind and one accord. The power of God fell in that place. There's power when we connect. There's power when we do more than just talk about it. You know, social media will tell you on Facebook you've got 1,000 friends. Do you really? Really? That's friends? You know, the English definition of that word is quite different in other cultures. You know, in the Spanish language, we don't throw around that word friends lightly. In English, oh yeah, that's my friend. No, that's your acquaintance. Friendship means something completely different in other cultures. And it's the same with Jesus. I don't just want them to know about me. I want them to be in me. And I want to be in them. I want to be close, that friend that sticks closer than a brother. He uses the word know, which is the word gnosko, which means to know you intimately. When he says, I want to know them, and I want them to know me. I want a relationship with them, and I want them to have that kind of relationship with each other. There's a divine connection that happens when we don't just read God's word and just read his prayer, but we connect with it. And we answer Jesus' prayers by taking that faith step to connect one with the other. I want you to see also that it's a progressing connection. Great friendships, by the way, will progress. You know, when you've been through something together with a friend, your friendship takes on a new level, doesn't it? When you've walked through a hard time and you've seen that I can trust that person. That person was there for me when I needed them, or I was there for them when they needed me. That's a different level. It progresses. You know, power progresses in the same way. If I was to plug in something to one of our outlets here on the wall, and especially if you're about 2 years old and decide to do that with a butter knife, you're going to have a revelation. A little power moment, but that power is progressive. If I walk to the breaker box and try to do that same tomfoolery, I'm going to throw out that word tomfoolery today. There's more than just a wake-up call happening. There's more power there. Now, if I was to climb up on the high line, somebody come holler at your boy and get me down because I've lost my mind, right? It's not just sticking a butter knife in an outlet. That you're playing with life and death. Now, if you're standing out in the middle of a lightning storm with a kite with a key tied around the string like Benjamin Franklin did, you're going to see some divine power, some woo moments. That's a wake-up call. See, power progresses. And there's a progression that happens in the life of each and every person because Genesis tells us it's not good for man to be alone. God senses our need for connection. And he does a couple of things in the life of every believer. I want you to see this. Number one, he created us to know and to be known. God puts this longing inside of each of us. And I know that you've got it all worked out together and you're an island unto yourself and you're just trying to worry about you. But there is a divine longing inside of you that God put there to connect with other believers. You can't ignore it. It's there. It may be easier to ignore it because you've been hurt, but it's still there. And I've heard it preached before that when God said it's not good for man to be alone, it's because God wanted man to have a relationship with him. And that may be true, but this is not what God is talking about here because man already had a relationship with God. God's not talking about himself. He's saying he needs someone there to connect with that looks and acts and thinks like him. God says at the very beginning, he said, let us make man in our image. He uses plural terms there. Because it's not just the Father, but it's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit working together. And God says, man needs that. He needs to connect with someone that's like him. And God created woman. Someone to walk with him, to reason with him. Someone to talk some sense into him. Someone to roll their eyes at his jokes. God looked down and said, it's not good for him to be alone. He does crazy things. So God created us to be known and to know one another. You know, everything that God does, he does it with purpose in mind. He does it for your good. And the longing that we have to connect with other people is for your good. It's not for your hurt. I think it's important that some of us recognize that today. He made us to know and to be known. And then God takes us in this progressive connection. He takes us to the second level, which is where God then begins to use who you know to connect you. There are divine appointments that will happen in the lives of every believer when God will push you towards deeper connection. Have you sensed this? Do you see this? As you get closer and closer to God, as you get into his word, you're going to find that there are divine appointments that will just happen all around you of people longing for connection. People will start inviting you for dinner. Let's go see a movie together. Let's have a play date with our kids. There's a connection that's supposed to happen. That's a natural and normal thing. I don't understand why churches fight that, by the way. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. When I was first starting out in ministry, there's a pastor that come to me and he was talking to me. He was my overseer and he said, man, this is really healthy. I said, well, how do you know that it's healthy in this ministry that I'm just starting out with youth? I don't understand what I'm doing. He said, well, they're grouping. He said, at the end of every service, instead of kids just leaving, if they were to just leave, that means that their parents made them come. But if they group, that means they want to be here. They want to connect with each other. And when they start connecting inside of God's house, that's health. That's a good thing. You know, the majority of people that come here from other churches have the exact same reason that they left their last church. I didn't feel what? Connected. I didn't feel welcomed. I didn't feel loved. I didn't feel noticed. I didn't find my place. I didn't find my fit. And let me just tell you, it's not the church's responsibility to make you feel connected. It's yours. Now, there are places that just don't have that in their culture, and it's good. They make it really, really hard to connect. Unfortunately, that's just the way that they do. I get it. I don't understand it, but I get it. It's just their culture. We've worked really, really hard to design and to build a church that makes you feel connected. There's a reason why when you came here today, we offered you a donut. Somebody made coffee for you. We were ready for you to connect. Is it just because we like coffee and donuts? Well, absolutely, because we're awesome. But psychology and science will tell us that people feel more connected when they have something in their hand. When you have a drink in your hand, you feel like you can connect to people. It makes things feel less awkward. So why fight it? It's coffee, the Christian beer. That's not in my notes. In this progressing connection, this desire, this longing to connect with more people, that moves from just making us known and for us knowing others to God using who we know to push us into deeper connection. And then it moves to the place where you finally get it, where it finally clicks in your mind, and this is where God makes you someone to know. You become not just the connected, but the connector. You start making a difference in people's lives. When you see those that are coming here for the first time and you're like, oh, they need a friend. They need a cup of coffee. They need the door held open for them. Our church is built on connecting you to other people. It's the heart of what makes us different. It's our secret sauce. It's not the messages. I wish it was. It's not just our fantastic worship, and it is fantastic. Somebody say amen. But it's the people. The people who are embracing the we culture and not just me. It's we, not me. I want to show you a powerful video of some friends of mine and the testimony that they have of going from not being connected to finding their connection here with you. Turn your attention to the screen if you would and enjoy this.
We are Drew and Chelsea Purefoy. We met in 2007. We've been married for 8 years and we have 2 kiddos. I grew up going to church my whole life. When Drew and I started dating, it was really important to me for us to find a church home together. So that was when our 12-year journey really started. And I didn't like the idea of going around to a bunch of different churches and trying to find our favorite flavor. So basically, what ended up happening is we would go into a church, make sure they believed what we believed, and then we would commit. We'd be like, okay, put us to work. Where can we get to where the connections are?
Yeah, so my backstory is a little bit different than Chelsea's. I grew up in church, but it was always a place that I guess I had to be rather than wanted to be. I guess a lot of it had to do with the legalism, hypocrisy, and some of the things that I either experienced or witnessed within the church that kind of drove me out. So ended up, there was a large period of my life where I was actually agnostic, walked away from the church and I guess God so I can get perspective on what Drew actually believed. So I ended up coming back to Christ, but I guess still felt like that body of believers that made up, you know, that Christians make up was always just one of those myths that I would never be able to find. So I guess I kind of just gave up on ever being able to find that.
So over the last 10 years, Mark Iwan came into my job several times. But the last couple of years he came in, he was super adamant about asking me if I had found a church home yet. He just said, come try High Ridge, come on. And I'm January 2019, we were in between churches again. So I'm like, before we settle anywhere else, I just wanted to try out High Ridge. And I think I was hesitant because I grew up with like 80% of the congregation. But I remember prepping Drew, I'm like, we're about to walk into these doors and we're about to get hugged by like 75 people. And it might feel really authentic, but it might feel really fake. And I just remember walking in and it felt like home. It was, people were asking us to join life groups. I mean, we for the first time weren't trying to grab on to someone or something anymore. We were getting pulled in to someone's family because they wanted us there. It was incredible. So the first membership class that became available, we became members of a church for the first time in 12 years. And it felt really good. So right after we visited the church, we joined Hannah and James's life group, which was just huge for us to get connected right away. But then in April, we had just paid off $80,000 worth of student loans, which was a huge stepping stone for us, because after that happened, I was planning on quitting my job and staying home with the kids. And 2 weeks later, Drew calls me and lost his job. And I texted Hannah, and she called me right away and started praying with me over the phone, just encouraging me with stories of her life. And for the first time, I felt like, whoa, we're not doing this alone. We have people who are supporting us and backing us up and gonna make sure if we fall, they're there to catch us. And it was incredible.
So I ended up losing my job on that Friday. Sunday came to church and walked through the doors and Tony Spraggan stops us and, you know, of course just asks, hey, I heard you lost your job. Just wanted to reach out and pray for you. So ended up, you know, just joining hands and kind of formed a prayer circle in the middle of the hallway. And just, you know, having that sense of it was just us talking to God that almost felt like time stood still. And just him reaching out, just making us, I guess, feel seen and really part of that body of Christ, actually doing life together with each other. And Number one, knowing what's going on with our life, but number two, following that up with genuinely caring about what's going on and wanting to walk through it with us was something that was really encouraging, especially so soon joining the church. Shortly after that, a month or two later, ended up finding a new job, more than doubling my salary, and Chelsea was able to quit her job she was at for over 10 years. So, I think being part of this church has really taught me not to be so freaking hard on the church, not so critical, and through laying that down and kind of letting that go, it's kind of allowed me to be a part of the body of Christ. Maybe I don't know exactly what appendage or what body part, but I know I'm in there, or part of the body. So, you know, it was like being able to find that community of people was like finding a new treasure at 30. So, you know, like I said, it was always one of those myths. So it was almost like finding Bigfoot. Now I like find myself wanting to actually be with these people and actively with them, doing life together, loving on their kids, going through hard times with them, celebrating with them, actually doing life with the people that are part of the body of Christ.
And just imagine what we could do if we all got on the same page and made sure every soul that walked through those doors was seen and that they knew that they truly mattered.
How about that? I want us to encourage you before we go today that your supernatural connections, to feel that longing to be connected to other people, that doesn't get remedied by accident. It's going to take you taking a faith step of trusting God's people. We're trying to make it as easy as possible for you to connect. We have groups that have launched all across the city, meeting in different homes at different times. We will find one for you. If you've been kicking the tires around here wondering if this is your church home, let me tell you, our membership class, conveniently, is tonight. At 5:30 tonight, we will meet together. We will get a meal together. I will walk you through. My team will walk you through what we believe, what we're all about. And you're going to find that you're just as crazy as the rest of us. This is God using His people to give you opportunities to connect. It's up to you. There's also some of you that have been here but have never started serving someone else, connecting to other people, being Jesus' hands and feet. We're going to put you on a dream team. We're going to get you serving. Not because we need more people serving, but because it's good for you. There's power that happens when you start connecting. I want you to meet some of our group leaders. I want you to meet some of our people. Get connected. One of my deepest fears is that you would leave this place and go to another church and say the same thing that you said when you came here. Just don't feel connected. That's on you. I want to challenge you to take a step of faith, whatever that may be. Maybe you've never connected to God's Word before. Let this be the week where you open up His Word. If you've never opened God's Word before, start in 1 John. Great place to start. Start in 1 John. Right there towards the end. If you've never connected to a church before, let today be your day. If you've never prayed with another believer, at the end of today's service, I'm going to have our elders and their wives stand right here. And as everyone else is leaving, you can step forward, grab their hands and say, "Would you pray for me? There's something that I'm walking through." And you're going to watch God begin to answer your prayers. What's your faith step? Let today not just be a day where we're hearing the word, but a day that we're actually doing it. You're going to love my friends if you just meet them. You know what? People are going to love you when they meet you. God created you to know and to be known. He has a purpose for you. And it happens when we start connecting to Him and to each other. Amen. Well, I'm praying that that message challenged you and encouraged you to continue in your walk of faith with the Lord. Would you do something for me? Would you like and share this message with maybe your social media group, the people that you know might need this message? And then also, if you go to our website at highridgelv.com and click on the Giving tab, that would help us take the message of Jesus and spread it all around the world. God bless you. I hope you have an amazing week.